Incarnation. This is what we're talking about this December, and I'm just going to review some things real quickly. A shorter sermon today, no applause. Incarnation refers to the uniquely Christian belief that God entered history in the form of a human person. When you sit down and really think about it and talk to people seriously about it, it's a huge and incredible idea. And but it's very important to know that that God did this. And so here's how John talks about it in the beginning of his book. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he goes on to say, "This Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And so that's what we've been trying to celebrate. So the first sermon in the series we call Jesus Answers Our Questions, because a lot of times we wonder, what is God like? And circumstances and a lot of things can confuse us. And so it really is the gift of revelation that God really finally and ultimately expressed himself in Jesus Christ. So if we wonder what does God think or about something, we can look at the life of Jesus our questions can be answered. And Paul says in Colossians, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." In college, I remember this saying, but it was funny. I didn't think much of it then, but it says, if you want to know what God is like, color him Christ, like one might color a picture. So, and then last week we talked about the gift of being understood. And really misunderstanding we're all familiar with. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says about Jesus. He says, this high priest, he's speaking about Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Okay, so God has revealed himself in Christ. In flesh and blood, we can know what God is like because we see him in the life of Jesus. And to really know that God really understands us. And that's an interesting idea to be really, truly understood. So let's talk about today the gift of relationship. Okay? This is going to be, I'm kind of looking forward to this. This is kind of a fun message. I may say a thing or two that's going to get me in trouble. I called Sandy a diva last week, and she got after me today, and which really tells me she is a diva. Anyway, but I digress. The gift of relationship. Relationships can be tricky. They just can be. And when I went to college, I was so scared of girls before college. I was scared of girls in college, but I knew eventually I had to do something about it. So, but I can still remember the day where I thought, I am asking Carrie Cooper out. I'm asking her out. So I asked her to Donut Land for a cup of coffee. It was right across from the college, and we went there. It was a big deal for me. I mean, a huge deal. I don't know what we talked about. I don't know what it was like. We finished having a cup of coffee and a donut, and then that was it. It's all I had. Which reminds me of another date. I took a girl on, and a pretty girl, real skinny, which was a big mistake. But anyway, so I didn't know what to do. I like to eat. So I took her to Cinnabon to start the date off with. And so we went to Cinnabon and we got a cinnamon roll, and I'm just getting warmed up. We finish, we talk, we have a good time, and I said, "Well, where do you want to go eat?" She said, "Eat? I can't eat. I'm full." So I took her back to her dorm, dropped her off. I mean, relationships can be tricky. I'm so glad Carrie was patient. I took her to the zoo one time. This was another big date. We dated every year. Freshman year, sophomore year, junior year. Then we finally, it clicked. But I took her to the zoo, and she was just kind of starting to warm up to me. I don't know, we were watching the bears or something like that. And she started sharing, and I moved on to like the alligators or whatever. And so she sits there and she told me, she said, "I sat there and talked to you for 5 minutes. And you weren't even there. So how we ever made it, I don't know. But having a relationship with God can be particularly frustrating, especially when we think about the idea that we cannot see God. We cannot necessarily go to the zoo with Him in the sense that we would go to the zoo with each other. But one of the things I want to say about relationships and relationships with God is that we get relationships, at least with each other. And in a lot of ways, those same kind of principles just exist with God. So I think sometimes we think that God is, even though He is completely different from us, that our relationship is completely different. But it really isn't in a lot of ways. But I will say this. God is in a different league. Do you guys understand when I say that? Like, she's out of your league. By the way, Carrie was out of my league. I had a story here, but I'm not going to tell it. Let me just tell it. It's kind of a fun story. First time at the Baptist church that we went to. Going to Sunday school class, there are 5 beautiful girls. 5. And me. And I sit down, and I'm sitting there sweating like a butcher. I don't even know what that means. But I am just, these are beautiful girls. 2 of them were from my school. And I'm just sitting there thinking, don't look dumb, don't look dumb, don't look dumb. I look down, and I am not kidding you. I had pools of sweat the size of a 50-cent piece under both my wrists. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was running down my arm onto the table. My first day in that church. So I came up with this great idea that I was going to take my sleeves and... So I did, and 2 big old streaks right off to the end of the table. It was bad. But God is in a different league. You know, sometimes I think we want to think about Him, and even with Jesus, relate to Him. He is understood. He does understand us. He loves us. He's revealed Himself to us. But He is very different. You know, it's like if we would just one day meet the President of the United States, I mean, that would be a huge, huge deal. But the God of the universe is like the President to the 10th trillionth of the 10th power or whatever. He's not even in the same league as us. So relationships can kind of be difficult as we think about it. But let me just say this. God determines the ground rules for our relationship. God determines the ground rules for our relationship. So while as relationships are tricky, I think we all get the idea of ground rules. Does anybody recognize this? Where do you recognize it from? Marriage. Now, it isn't always said the exact same way, but I've said it enough. This ring I give you, as a token of my love, and as a pledge of my constant fidelity. So even in relationship, we get the idea that they're ground rules. When people get married, they say, you know what? I am yours alone. And we promise that. So those are the ground rules of our relationship together. Now, when Carrie and I finally started dating, the only time she didn't do this with me, she was pregnant one time, and we were at a restaurant, and I ran out of food before she did. So I reached over to grab a fry. She clamped down on my arm, and I didn't think it was coming back. Don't mess with a pregnant lady's food, but... But when we were kind of dating and early in marriage, she always used to give me the last bite. Is she here? Oh. I don't know when it quit, dear, but I really like that. But she used to, like, we'd be eating, and she'd give me her last bite. I love that. But I want you to imagine, and this is serious. Now imagine if Carrie decides she's going to break this promise, pledge of her constant fidelity. And she finds somebody that she likes better than me. And she breaks this promise to me, but she keeps giving me her last bite. It would do nothing for me. That bite would become meaningless. It would actually become incensing, wouldn't it? This person you promised to share this life of constant fidelity still was doing the outward things of the relationship, but had completely broken the trust of the relationship. Can you imagine the heartbreak of that? I mean, relationships are tricky, and one of the reasons they're tricky is because we can be hurt so deeply by them. I mean, when you tell somebody you love them, that's a huge deal. And when somebody breaks the trust of that relationship, it's huge. It's just devastating. So we have these ground rules for our relationship with God, and he talks about how to worship him and things like this. And I just want to use this as a little bit of an example, but in the Old Testament, as God calls together the people of the children of Israel, he says, here is how I want you to worship me. And he gave them a lot of ceremonial laws, and he told them how to behave. And he was very explicit with things. But I want to show you something that one of the prophets deals with, especially as we think about, again, this idea of relationship. So here is God speaking to his people. Now he says, I'm God and I love you, and here is how you worship me. And so he gives them all these sacrifices. Now listen how he responds to them through the prophet Isaiah. He says, the multitude, and I want you to think about that bite that Carrie used to give me. Now she, by the way, I mean, our relationship's good. But I'm just saying, if she ever did decide she's not going to be loyal to me, what that sacrifice or that last bite would mean. So here is God, and he's saying, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts, stop bringing meaningless offerings. And so you wonder, what is going on here? He says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incest is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbath, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. You're always coming before me. He says, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. See, such strong language from God. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Why? Why is God so upset? He says, because your hands are full of blood. He said, innocent people are being murdered, and you're bringing me these offerings like this makes me happy. Now, the offerings would be pleasing to God if the rest of their lives lived up to their relationship. And so, again, even as we think about our relationship with God, even as we think about our relationship with each other, they certainly need to be more than just these outward things that we do sometimes. And again, I love that last bite. I mean, I just felt loved and thought about and concerned, but if that was all that it was there, was just that outward thing of the last bite, and she was just cheating on me with somebody else, it would be meaningless. And matter of fact, it would be offensive. I shouldn't say this. I'm sharing way too much relationship stuff. But I remember when I told Carrie I loved her, she thought it'd be a cool idea to wait a long time to tell me. By the way, that's the worst idea ever. But I remember thinking, hey, I'm stepping out there. I'm doing it. And it wasn't bad for a while, 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 wasn't bad for a while. Then it got real bad. And I thought, I don't even want to go out with her. I mean, I did. But it was terrible. It ate me up. And so even this thing, here is God, and he wants to be in relationship with these people, but all they're doing is the window dressing. Their heart is not in it. So as we think about the incarnation, I want you to think about this morning, and that we're just going to come to a quick point and we're going to let you go. But the incarnation helps us to see that God wanted more than sacrifices. He wanted relationship. I mean, God could have stayed far off and distant, but he didn't. He didn't. Now, I read this just really recently, but I just thought I had to put it in the message today. There is something about keeping him, talking about Jesus, about keeping Jesus divine that keeps him distant. We think about Jesus, we just, you know, even it's hard for us to understand when he was born in a barn or a stall, what that was like. Has anybody ever been in a barn? Bad. It's like, what was the floor like? Were there animals scurrying around on the floor? Were there mice and rats? There was a good chance of it. And so we, even with Christmas, we kind of idolize it. And even, you know, we think about things and Jesus is born. He's got a little halo around his head. He didn't. But Max Lucado says there is something about keeping him divine that keeps him distant, packaged, and predictable. So when you think about your relationship with other people, and then you think about your relationship with God, God is not pleased with even things like coming to church. It's like, now, it's great to come to church. But it's like, God isn't looking just for the outward trappings of things. He wants to know that our hearts are in it. I mean, if you're going to marry somebody, if you're going to be in a relationship with somebody, don't you want to know their heart's in it? Of course we do. Well, God wants to do the same thing. But his people, if you read the prophets of the Old Testament, it says they were constantly running after other gods. And so even for us, we're not happy with it in our own relationship, and God is not happy with it in our relationship with him. But he gives us this wonderful opportunity, though, to be in relationship. Now, I've talked to people who've been married a long time, longer than me. And I've asked people, aren't you glad you stuck it out? Especially if you got I've asked this to people who have just a wonderful relationship. And almost everybody has some pretty rough times in that time. I thought, aren't you glad you stuck it out? Because it's hard. And sometimes our relationship, you know, our own relationships can be tricky, but our relationship with God can even be difficult. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, well, what is God thinking about as far as we're concerned? What about the incarnation? And I want you to read these words, and they're not normally Christmas words, but I think they're important words. It's this. Hear Jesus. Now think about the relationship with the God of the universe. He is in a completely different league. He is invisible. But he wants to be in relationship with us. And he sent us his son. And Jesus grew up. And so he knows what we're going through. But I want you to hear these words this morning. These are the words from Jesus. He says this. So I want you to imagine this, even for you today. Hearing the words of Jesus for yourself. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And there's a picture, and I used to know who painted it and stuff like that, but it's Jesus standing at a door and knocking, and on this door, there is no doorknob. It has to be open from the inside, but Jesus is standing there knocking. And it's a picture of this verse. Jesus is saying, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. You know who comes to my door? People selling me windows, siding, a different religion than mine, and sometimes some Amish baked goods. But that's the only people that come to my front door and ring my bell. So don't try it. Because I'll hide in the house thinking you're selling me siding or windows. If you want me, text me. Call me. Say, hey, I'm coming over. Otherwise, I'm hiding. But here is Jesus. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, hearing his voice isn't enough, but he opens the door. So here's this great thought about Christmas. God sends his son so we could know exactly what he's like. And then this flesh and blood kind of person stands at the door of our heart and knocks. And he says, if you will open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with you. I'll be in relationship with you. Jesus is the one knocking. It isn't us standing at the door saying, Jesus, where are you? Will you please come in? It's the God of the universe in the flesh of Jesus Christ knocking at the door of our heart. I just think that's incredible. Now, I had something happen to me this week. I didn't know if I was going to get a chance to share it or not. But I feel like God really answered a prayer for me. I mean, something I've really been dealing with and struggling with. And I just thought, wow. Because it's been something I prayed over and over again. It just seems like I couldn't find answers, and it was just, then all of a sudden, boom. And I remember I was writing in my journal, and I said, God, thank you for answering that prayer. I had kind of given up on it. And then I thought, you know what? Our life is full of opportunities to see God at work. But I find myself, and I tell people this, be careful not to look at the circumstances of your life and then try to figure out if God loves you or not. Because if you lose your job, or if the person you're married to is unfaithful, or if your health all of a sudden goes downhill, then all of a sudden we think God is against us. God is not against us. But I think sometimes we lose the opportunity to understand that God is involved in our everyday life. And there's a story in the Bible, and as I was writing this in my journal, there's a story in the Bible where Moses, who was this incredible leader of Israel, but he didn't do everything God's way, and God didn't let him go into the promised land. It's one of the saddest parts of the Bible that I know. And I think Moses was incredible. Moses made me look like pond scum, but he never got to go into the promised land. Matter of fact, God tells Moses at one point, because he keeps asking about it. He says, don't ask me about it again. If you're a parent, you know exactly what that means. Don't ask me about it again. And I started to think, what hope do I have? I mean, I'm nothing like Moses. And then I started to think about Jesus, the Word made flesh. And then I started to think about Peter, bold and brash, the first one to say, I will die for you. And yet he denies Christ to a little girl in a courtyard. And you know what I love about the scripture is this idea. It's like, if you think you're bad, the Bible is full of other people that are just as bad, maybe worse. So I thought the incarnation for me is just to grab onto this idea that Jesus says, I love you. And after it was all around, Jesus said this, go get Peter. And so even for us today, I just want you to hear the words of Jesus. Here I am, I stand at your door and knock. It's not the idea, do I care? Am I interested in you? It's what are we going to do? And you can say, well, I'll play at a relationship. I'm thinking, I'm not interested in somebody playing in a relationship with me. I'm not interested in Carrie saying, well, I'll play. I'll live with you. You know what I mean? I'll throw you a morsel every now and then. No, I want her to be all in. And so Jesus is knocking at our heart's door, and he wants to have fellowship with us. And it's there, and it's available to us. And no, we don't have to measure up. So that's why it's this gift of relationship. For me, I think I've been in the church so long, I think God has started to view my performance as the primary issue. It wasn't way back, and it isn't right now. He understands me. He loves me. He wants me to be in relationship with him. If you are here, he wants to be in relationship with you. Your heart has a door. Jesus is knocking. The question is, what in the world are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Now, we're going to talk about this even more next week. But I'd like to pray for you. I'd like the praise team to come on up. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your own heart, your own door. You understand relationships, how important relationships are. But let's stop and talk to God. Heavenly Father, again, I like Christmas. One of the things I like about Christmas is just the house and it being decorated different and just kind of breaking up the ordinariness of life. And I think about how small that is compared to the whole idea of Christmas. That you loved us so much, you wanted us to get it. You wanted us to get who you are. That we can't stop because we can't see you and say, well, you don't know what it's like. Because Jesus is our high priest and he does know. And Father, it seems like there's a lot of things that want to complicate having a relationship with you. Sometimes it's this idea we kind of want to do the outward things, kind of treat you like an idol. Well, what is it? Do you want A, B? What? Tell me what you want. I'll give it to you so you can then give me what I want. Father, help us to understand that that's not a relationship. It's more of a business deal. So today we're here. You brought us here, I think, for a reason. And again, Father, for me, that day as I was writing in my journal, I was thinking, how do I keep slipping into this idea that somehow I could ever earn your love? Help me to accept your grace. And Father, for those who are sitting here who are thinking maybe their relationship has become just about the outward things about God. Yeah, they believe in you and they acknowledge you, but the relationship isn't really vibrant. Maybe they're giving you their last bite, but their heart isn't in it anymore. Father, I pray that they would somehow hear that knocking and understand that it's no more complicated than saying, come in. Come in. Father, you recognize the fact that we've sinned, we've gone our own way, we've done our own things, we've left you in the dust, a lot of us. And all of us at one time or other. But Father, this is a new day. This is Christmas. You offer us the gift of relationship. And Father, I would hope that there would be someone today who would literally just open the door of their heart and invite you to come in. And Father, I think about next week. We're really going to talk about what does it really mean what Jesus has done. But Father, we praise you. Thank you for the plan that you have for us. And thank you for the fact that nobody comes in here kind of a second-class citizen in your eyes. That you love us all. You desire all of us to open the door of our heart. I pray that we would. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your care. Thank you for the fact that right now every heart, even the heart that's struggling with this, is completely understood by you. So, Father, may there be some who are willing to say, come in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.